Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The words for our consideration today are from Paul's letter to the Roman congregation in chapter 13, beginning with the first verse. There he writes, "Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval, for he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. Therefore, one must be in subjection, not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for the authorities are ministers of God attending to this very thing. Pay to all what is owed to them, taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, honor to whom honor is owed. Owe no one anything except to love each other, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law." So far, our sermon text. And let us pray. Lord, in these difficult and troubled times in our country, we pray that by your holy word, you would lift us above these earthly things for a moment so that we might worship you in peace and so that we might receive from you the peace that surpasses our understanding, which is far more important than these earthly matters. We ask that you would, by your word, instruct us today and strengthen our faith in you so that we do not fear, but trust that all things are in your hands and that you will cause all things to happen for our good. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Fellow redeemed in Christ, for some reason, I'm having a little trouble reconciling the news that I'm hearing from CNN with the news that I'm hearing from Fox. Go figure. I guess I can count it a blessing to live in a country where I'm called upon to actually have an opinion about politics and to cast a vote. Not everyone has such a privilege, but that privilege demands that in my heart, in my mind, I ask the question and answer it. Just who is right? Just who is right? That question is dividing the nation right now, dividing families, dividing communities, especially as the election looms, especially at the news that Justice Ginsburg died this past Friday. Many people are in favor of the policies of our president, and many are opposed to his policies. Some like the president, some tolerate him, some are ashamed of him, some actually outright hate him. So just who is right? Just who is right about what good conduct is? That's the first question. And there's division about that question in our country right now. Some look at President Trump's decision-making and approve of his decisiveness, while others look at his indecision and complain. Some believe his decisions are sound. Others believe that he's misguided, or worse, just who is right in decision making. There's division about that too. Division about how to make decisions, division about what those decisions should be. We didn't come here to talk about politics, though. And I'm not here to talk about politics. This morning, God and his word would lift us up out of the muck and mire of all this political discussion that's going on. And I say, won't that be refreshing? And I hope today he will refresh you with his gospel message. This morning he bids us to ask actually an even more important question. Just who is right in all he does? Because that question is going to help us to see what's really at stake, what the real battle is here in this world, what authority really is, and where we should stand as Christians. So just who is right about what good conduct is? That's the first question. When Paul wrote this letter to the Romans, it was about 22 some years after the resurrection. And Paul was writing this to the Roman congregation. And there in Rome, Emperor Claudius had just died and been replaced by Nero. And Nero was, well, he was a bad dude. Nero poisoned his older brother right away to make sure to consolidate power and to keep a good hold on the empire. And yet Paul writes to those Christians in Rome these words. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Well, the people in that Roman congregation, they were no dummies. I'm sure even if they received this letter before Nero had killed off his brother, I'm sure they had a pretty good idea about who Nero was and what he was all about. But they couldn't actually say anything about it. They couldn't put a voice to that thought, because if they did, well, they'd either be imprisoned or worse. Now, we don't need to fear reprisals like that for criticizing our president or our other elected officials. And so more openly, we're hearing people saying things like, I shouldn't have to be subject to that guy or to that governing authority or to that one either. And we're seeing evidence of it throughout our country. Violent riots, well, they demonstrate the sentiment. Face masks. There's division there too, man. So just who is right about what good conduct is? For some, rioting seems to be justifiable to them because they've been oppressed. Their circumstances are bad. They feel like the whole system is conspiring against them. And for others, they look at these rioters destroying people's livelihoods and they just want to take up arms. For some, masks are just plain idiotic, foolish. For others, salvation in the face of COVID. So who's right? Well, here we are to stop and take a look at Paul's reasoning behind teaching submission to the authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Paul's appealing to the Roman Christians and to us today to lift our thoughts out of the muck and confusion and to see and remember the highest authority and his goodness, to focus on the Lord and to stop thinking about the other side, to stop thinking of the people who are arguing against us, especially to stop thinking of them as enemies. We don't have to wonder what good conduct actually is. He tells us. He tells us in the law, especially in the commandments, which is summed up in the word love. He writes, "Owe no one anything except to love each other, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law." He even teaches us to submit ourselves to the authorities whom God has raised up in this world to rule over us, so long as they don't command us to do something that's clearly contrary to what God has said and forbidden by God. And more than that, when he sent his son into this world, we don't just hear what's right, we see in Jesus' life exactly what is the right thing to do, because Jesus never sinned. Jesus loved everyone. We see him fulfilling it every moment of his earthly ministry. Excuse me. We see him submitting himself to the point of death, death on the cross. And why? Because he loved us. Because he would save us from our sins. Because he wants us to live forever and not to die. So he gave himself up on that cross for us. So just who is right about what good conduct is? Well, sadly, it's not us. Never will be here on this earth. Just look at how easily we speak ill of others. Even though we don't really know what they believe or what they're really thinking, we just have sort of a caricature in our mind of what they're like, how quick we are to despise the other side. It's not the majority or the minority. Both sides are filled with immorality and all matter of ungodliness. It's not the conservatives or the liberals or the libertarians or the communists or the socialists or anybody else who has it figured out. God alone is always right. God alone is clear about what good conduct is, and it's God alone who always does what is right and good. Few presidents are able to keep even a fraction of their campaign promises. They're human beings, their circumstances change, strength fades, their decisions are often not in keeping with their promises, and so we look at their words with a great deal of skepticism, especially as we grow older and we've experienced this. But often we slip even further into cynicism, thinking nothing that they say can ever matter because nothing is true. And isn't that just another road to disobedience, if not in action, in thought? So just who is right in making decisions? Who's right in deciding our taxes? I know that comes up at least once a year for everybody, right? Who's right in deciding that the payment of those taxes should be such a complicated thing? And Paul says, "For because of this, you also pay taxes, for the authorities are ministers of God attending to this very thing, paid to all what is owed to them, taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, honor to whom honor is owed." Why does Paul write this to the Romans? Well, he writes it to expose to them where their hearts really are before God. He exposes all of us to the searchlight of God's law, and we see in our hearts things that don't fit with what God commands us to do. So just who is right in decision making? Well, we're not. We often decide not to listen to authorities. Half the country turns a deaf ear to the CDC. The other half can't seem to trust them because they keep on changing what they're saying to us. But we ought not to decide either of these ways, but trust that the Lord has raised up these men and women to do their job. We should accord them respect and honor and the courtesy, at least, of understanding that their knowledge is imperfect and that they're striving against a timetable that's nearly impossible. And it's true, if any abuse their power, well, then certainly higher authorities will bring the sword and bring them to justice. But they might fail in their vocation, doing the best they can, but how often don't we fail to submit ourselves to the governing authorities, not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience? Why is this so hard for us to recognize that God, in gracious love for us, appointed these people, gave them authority? Well, it's because of the original temptation that led to the original sin that has affected all of us human beings. Satan tempted Eve. Did not God say? Think about that. Adam and Eve turned against the authority of God and did what was forbidden, and they broke the relationship of trust with the Lord. And so from that moment on, they knew fear. They feared his wrath and punishment and all of their descendants too. We persist in that to this very day. We know fear of God. And we often decide out of fear and ignorance and end up rebelling against God instead of submitting to him. But every decision God makes is good. Every last one. We might not be able to see it from our limited perspective, but from the perspective of eternity, everything he does is for us. His decisions are always right. His actions are always right. And the proof of that, it's not found in what we see with our eyes and our limited senses and our reason, but it's found in faith, the faith that he's given us. So that we might trust him and see what he's doing, not from the earthly perspective of us limited human beings, but from his perspective. We hear his word, and he sustains us. He sends his Holy Spirit into our hearts, bringing with him the message of forgiveness and life and salvation. Every decision God makes is for you. And it's out of purest love. In fact, God is right in all he does. And we're not. So Paul has lifted our thoughts out of the arena of everyday politics and into the much more spiritual, important spiritual arena, where the fight really is about life and death. It's about eternity. It's about good versus evil. It's about the big stuff. The stuff that will really matter on your last day or when Jesus returns. Paul has pointed us to the ultimate authority, to God, from whom all blessings flow, not so that we can live some kind of dreamy, worthless spiritualism, but so that we can repent of our sins and rightly listen to others and engage heartily and joyfully in the hard work of serving our fellow man with our hands in labor, with our opinions in discussions, with our votes in elections, and most importantly, with the words of eternal life which he's given to us, the words and promises of God, the reason for the hope that we have. We can share that so that others too are lifted up out of the muck and have hope and joy, and they're pointed toward heaven. When you're tempted to bring the flames on Facebook, drop the bombs in conversations, when you're tempted to think someone is just plain dumb for thinking the way they do, remember Paul's words, God's words to you. Lift up your head from the worldly fog of politics and opinions and verbal jousting, lift up your head into that fresh air of the gospel of Jesus Christ and breathe deeply. And then your head will be clear to answer the question, just who is right? And your answer will be that the Lord is right. And you'll hear what he says. And you'll trust him. And what a message of love it is, that Jesus is our Savior, that our sins are forgiven because of what he did for us out of pure, gracious love. And what a message of love it is that while we remain here on earth, Jesus will rule over all things for our good, hearing our prayers and answering them in the best possible way. What a message of love it is that heaven awaits, where there will be no more of this confusion and hatred and bickering and rancor, only eternal and perfect peace. I think we all need to be refreshed by that right now. May God grant such refreshing absolution to you that we're renewed by the Spirit's strength to joyfully do his will, to know that he is right, to submit to the governing authorities that he's raised up, to trust and not fear, and to bring the good news to people who are living in that fear right now. To God alone be the glory. Amen. Please rise. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all our understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto everlasting life. Amen.